This is Batman. Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. It's what it does, because I'm Batman.
Welcome to episode 56, part 2 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as a rotating panel of guests and myself, Ian Levitsy, and discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. The conversation continues with Tim Natiki, John and Bob from Comic Book Page, Brent and myself, as we continue to go in depth on the local comic book shop and online ordering. A little more debate to come, and plenty of forum comments in this episode as well, so I hope you guys enjoy it. Here now, Comic Timing.
We now join Comic Timing, already in progress.
So Bill is gone, but the conversation doesn't need to continue past that because, well, we never stop talking. But yeah, Brent, did that lower your expectations at all from DCBS with the problems you had about the getting your comics to the right place at the right time?
It did a little. The main thing that hurt me was that, like, I sent them an email ahead of time. I didn't send them, like, the Monday before, you know, the shipment was supposed to go out. I sent it to them the week before, you know, giving them at least a week to read it and, you know, maybe go, yeah, that's possible or no, that's not possible. And I think it was 2 weeks. Yeah, I sent them because what the deal was, I went home to Orlando to another town for a month because I was on winter break. So I knew that I would be there for, enough time that two shipments would arrive, mm-hmm. and then I could get them there instead of having to come back to a whole month's worth. And I do biweekly shipping. When my second shipment came in November, the second shipment was supposed to ship that week, but I sent an email anyway saying, hey, 3 weeks from now, I want this to be delivered to Orlando at this address. Is that possible? And I didn't really get a response until, like, the day that I got my shipping notice. And so this was like 2 weeks later, I guess. The shipping notice said it was being shipped to Gainesville, to my school address. So I sent them another email saying, hey, this is, you know, did anybody read my last email? You know, I asked for this to be in Orlando. What's going on? And then I think I got one either that day or the same day saying, yes, we're going to try and correct this. Because at that point, UPS already had the box. And they were saying they were going to try and get UPS to redeliver it somewhere else or something like that. Mm-hmm. But that didn't happen. And then I got an email from, the head guy, Cameron, who said, yeah, it was a mess up on our part. Somebody just didn't put the note, even though we did get your email. So we put in a special note for next time because you did say you wanted it to happen to your whole order for December. So it didn't happen again the second time. So then after I got my second December order, I immediately sent them an email, said, hey, going back to school now. Can you send them to Gainesville again for the next 4 months that I'm here? And they're like, yeah, cool. And I got my shipping notice on Monday, and it's coming to Gainesville. So that was a little discouraging, but, you know, it's a slip-up. So,
right.
I think that DCBS's main kryptonite is they really, really need to get a little better at responding to emails.
Yeah.
And even if they can't completely solve your issue, at least shooting back so that you know it didn't fall off the edge of the earth into a black hole.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys – I'm glad you guys said that to Cameron today on the saga of the Super Sons episode. Yeah,
he knows that, and we'll see how that gets better. Because, I mean, that's the one thing that I hear universally people complain about that, and that's the one thing that's going to hurt him the most if he can't fix.
Now, actually,
I
have a question, actually, Bob. Do they actually have a customer service department, or is it just Cameron answering all the emails?
No, there's several people. There's okay. Zach and Carrie. I mean, I've gotten responses from three or four different people besides – maybe at least two or three different people besides Cameron.
Gotcha.
There's multiple people there. It's just I think that a little more regimented time needs to be set aside every day to go through that inbox and say, hey, I get hundreds of emails every day at work. And, you know, you go through them and you answer, you know, you look at them, the one, and it's like, hey, you know, I'll get back to you. I have to research this. But you give some kind of response back. It's just a basic customer service kind of thing. And
right.
That's the one thing they just have to do a little better on because, again, that's the one – you know, I don't hear problems. You know, it's like they give great discounts. You know, they bend over backwards if they make a mistake to make it right for you. You know, all these kind of things. But the one thing that I hear time and time again is, man, I send them an email and it can be like a week and a half before I hear back from them. Right. You know?
Well,
and
even like a phone number that you could talk to like a receptionist or something might help that. Because I just want to leave a quick little note. And if she could just write that down and then pass it on to somebody who's already working the spreadsheet on the computer, their data entry guy or whatever, if they have that, then that might help something too. Yeah. But I know that if they put a phone number on there, then they're going to hire somebody because I know they're just going to get calls all the time.
Well, not to go back to the whole LCS versus online thing, but that is one of the things I do like about having a physical store that I can go to also. Because if I ever do need to call them for any reason, I can call them. As opposed to these, a lot of the online outlets out there, they only have an email address because they don't want to have to hire somebody to answer the phone calls. And they don't want to, you know, just have that out there. I remember how difficult it was for me. I noted that now they actually, you know, put it up there. But back about 2 years ago, it was impossible to find Amazon.com's actual phone number if you ever needed to call them. You had to go to, like, a website or you had to Google what is Amazon's phone number to find out what their customer service was because they didn't put it on the website. They only wanted you to do email. A lot of these guys would so much rather just correspond by email. So if that is your only way of corresponding, like we've made the comment, just get those responses out a couple days earlier and we'll be happy.
Yeah, that's the main thing. You're right. And I think that in general, you look at it and I'd almost rather they didn't get a receptionist that they have to pay because, again, everything that adds to their overhead, it has to come out of someplace. And yeah. I want the business to stay healthy because, you know, they've certainly shown a willingness to pass on their savings to the customers, which is something that I appreciate. You know, I was a customer with them, not as long as John, of course, but I was a customer with DCBS when they kind of out of the blue, you know, raised their discounts from 35% to 40% on, you know, Marvel, DC, Image, and Dark Horse. Mm-hmm. You know, and they didn't have to do that. Everyone was going to them and getting 30% off, and they raised the discount, you know. And then just this last month when they reevaluated their shipping pricing.
Here's the one trap that deep discounts of any sort in any business falls into. Once you give discounts, like you just said, from 35% to 40%, you can never take it back. Because as soon as you take it back, even once, just for a short period of time, people drop off.
That's a problem that, you know, Amazon's forever going to have. That they offer plenty of discounts on things, and if they were to ever go, oh, hey, this is costing us more to get now, we're going to have to raise the prices of, say, you know, CDs. If CDs went up all across the board for them to actually physically have them in their warehouse and they were to raise CD prices $2 to $3 across the board, you'd see people up in an uproar.
That's a little bit
I'm not convinced that that's as much of a problem for Amazon because they're not doing a lot of serialized things. I mean, you're going to notice when, you know, Superman 680 costs more than $679, you mm-hmm. know, on discount wise.
Okay.
But Amazon, I notice it all the time because I'll go there and I'll go to buy things. And their discount levels on books fluctuate greatly. And a lot of times I'll go there to look for a book and, you know, for some reason it's not discounted. And I know that several months ago it was discounted. I get a lot of tomorrow's books from Amazon. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, you know, you ever try to buy something, you talk about buying online, you get raped by tomorrow's if you ever buy something directly from them. I mean, they charge you the full cover price of the book plus some ludicrous amount of shipping, you know, on top of that. You know, it's ridiculous. Whereas then I can turn around and go to Amazon and get it for like, you know, 30% off and buy two of them and get free shipping or something, you know. So I would never consider buying a Tomorrow's book directly from Tomorrow's. But at the same time, I'll go on Amazon and sometimes I'll find them for like 34% off. And another time I'll look and they'll only be 10% off. So they go all over the place on their discounts.
Now, let me ask you this, Bob. So in that scenario, how, you know, when you jumped on, they went from 35% off and just unsolicited, they went to 40% off. What would happen – in your opinion, what would be your opinion is if they went back to the 35% off?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't. They didn't go to 40. They went down to like 10% off. I didn't buy.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going back to DCBS. Your DCBS story.
I'd still buy them. I mean, it's like it really depends. I mean, it's like why is the discount going up? Now, if they did it with no explanation whatsoever, then I'd have to think really hard about that. But if they had a reason, like, well, the reason we're doing it is because Diamond changed their discount structure, and this is the only thing that we can do and remain profitable, then I it wouldn't affect me, right?
I just know how you guys are saying I don't care, you know, earlier.
Well, there's a certain amount of I don't care. I mean, you can't use the 1 hour argument on them having pick errors for me 4 days after the books came out. Okay, you know, that's where the I don't care comes in, because you can get your shit together in 4 days. I wouldn't expect things to be perfect at noon on Wednesday. I expect them to be perfect 11 a.m. Saturday.
Yeah.
As a for instance, and to some extent, as long as there's a reason given and it's not chronic, you know, that's the other thing. You make a pick error every now and again. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. You make a pick error 3 out of 4 weeks. It's an endemic problem that should be looked at.
I'm going to the discounts. The fact that they have to pay, they lose more profit. Is that really a concern of yours?
It is, because I want, you know, and again, I'm different maybe than somebody else, but the way I look at it is I want to get a good price, but I don't want to get such a good price that they're not able to remain a profitable business, because if that happens and they go out of business, I lose, because then I'm not going to be able to get books from them anymore.
Right. Yeah. And that's
so how, I want that's them to make a living. I don't want them to give me such a high discount. That's why I don't want to see a price war. You know, it's like, if I look at and I kind of think I know what the discounts are on indie books, and I look at Heroes Corner giving 40% off on these really low cap indie books and stuff, I don't know how they're profitable on that. I almost wouldn't want to see DCBS go to 40% to the point where they're losing money and are going to subsequently damage their business and go out of business because of that.
Yeah, I think,
because then
think
my only option is going to be going to like Westfield or something where I'm getting like 20% less, or, you know, it's like, then I'm really out of luck. I don't want to save 5% so much that I'm going to, in the long term, lose 20%.
See, I see a price war as being, to an extent, inevitable, and I think we're seeing the beginnings of it. It'll be a slow burn. It's not just going to suddenly pop up. It'll be a real slow burn. It may be, you know, suddenly someone who's not in the online field, like Graham Crackers, who only sells back issues out of the Midwest, they've got 9 stores, or New England Comics or Newberry Comics. You know, these bigger chains. Newberry Comics has 22 stores. You want to talk about buying power. Mm-hmm. I think they're the largest chain in the U.S. You know, if they really want to get into the market, though they don't deal with online, if they all start getting into it, then you have some real interesting combative discount situation.
I would agree with you on that, but just a quick point. One thing that I've noticed with these big chain stores, you know, and I haven't really been to new. I've actually been to a Newbery comic. Aren't they more like a record store than a comic store?
They're a couple of comics crammed
at the back. And
here's the thing about them: they've evolved over the years. They start off as a comic book store. Then they started getting into music, because Boston's got such a hot music scene as a whole, I've learned. So then they said, okay, we sell both. Then they started selling tchotchkes, and they've just expanded. But they always had comics. Now, do I make them my comic store? No, because they don't fit the stereotype.
I've only been at the Newbery Comics up by the Burlington Mall, and it's got this tiny little selection of comics in this ghetto at the back of a music, and, you know, looks like a Spencer Gifts with the comic back.
They order – what I'm getting at, though, is percentages, and they order so many comics that they get that really deep discount from Diamond. They have to. There's no way around it. You have 22 stores. Each one of them sells comics.
Yeah, but
they're a $75 million store or $75 million business that they are alone. I saw that in the paper. But here's the thing, though. With CDs not selling like they used to, they may say, you know what? Comics have always been a stalwart for us. Let's get into the online field, and they absolutely already have the buying power behind them. I'm just using them as an example. I'm not speaking for them.
Right.
I'm totally being just talking out of my ass here and giving them for some reason as the example.
Well, the point I was trying to make is every big chain store I've ever gone into, I was trying to give you some context there, not to send us down a rat hole by bringing Newbery Comics up. But, you know, Atomic Comics, Golden Apple, you know, any of these places that have a bunch of different retail locations and would seem to have a lot of – and even Mile High. They have been the stingiest bastards in the world on giving any kind of a discount or anything like that. You know, they give, you know, like nothing. Mile High Comics retail locations are the worst. I've been to like three or four of those when I go to Denver on business. And the prices, you know, they give no discounts on things, you know. And even I look for a comic that came out 2 months ago, and it's like they don't even have it in the store. In the local shop because they've sent it to the warehouse so they can sell it online.
Well, and that sounds a lot like what you know what their business model is now for going to cons and stuff. Because I mean, I remember very well that you know Mile High was at San Diego Comic Con, but they were only selling trades. And I mean that might be something of a sign of their business practices that you know they weren't even selling single issues at their own booth at San Diego Comic Con.
I can't remember the last time they sold comics at Comic-Con.
Okay.
It seems like their basic mode is to do trades and online. They used to have these computer terminals at their thing, and you could actually order through their online store mm-hmm. at Comic-Con.
Okay.
So that's just kind of like their thing with that. But, you know, just in general, that kind of competition I wouldn't mind – because, frankly, I can't see Chuck Rosansky trying to out-discount DCBS because that guy, you know, he charges some egregious prices on stuff. Yeah.
And, you know, going back to Tim's comment about the price war, I actually wouldn't be surprised if about, you know, 5 or 6 months down the line, if – actually the opposite happens. If Heroes Corner, you know, going back to talking about the discounts that they've been offering on the indie books, if they go to more of the prices that DCBS is offering on those because they're not making the profit margins that they should on this, that it's very possible that they might be offering those prices now to catch customers. And a change from 40% to 30% might not be as noticeable to every customer as it would be to, say, you know, certain customers.
Well, the way like with my advertising background and knowing how, you know, seeing different setups and different strategies, one thing that could be a very common strategy is if they match DCBS on every front, but they give free bags and boards. I know they do that, mm-hmm. but I mean, they match everything. Then someone goes, well, if everything's equal, but yet I get this, and that costs them just a minute, what is it, 5 cents or, you know, 7 cents when it breaks down to it for a retailer?
Yeah.
It's way less than that, other than the labor that it costs, because I can buy bags and boards.
Oh, yeah.
Get
but
them
I mean,
5 cents
whole,
a piece.
As a whole, though, you know, you buy them in such gigantic bulk that.
Yeah, and a retailer wouldn't. I'm saying their cost has got to be like. No more than 5 cents.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were agreeing with me. I was giving the example like Ian's not going to go out and buy, you know, 10,000 bags and boards going.
No. I agree with the customer. I'm just saying I think that the actual cost to Heroes Corner for that bag and board is maybe 5 cents.
Funny you should mention 10,000, Oak, but I did buy 1,000 and I'm still going through those.
But with that being said, sometimes that's all it takes. You match your competitor on every single, you know, bit. But you add that little tinge extra, and if they're already good on the customer service of getting back to people same day, you know, with emails, sometimes that's all it takes, regardless of deep discounts.
Right.
Well, I think that that's the case where it's a lot easier to, you know, throw a 5 cent bag and board in than to put 5% on a $4 indie book, you know.
That's what I'm saying. It'll start off that way. And then from there, then DCBS will go, okay, not only will we give the bags and boards, but we'll take an additional 1% off of blah, blah, blah. You know, that's how it starts to escalate, and then it just gets stupid.
Yeah.
John, are you asleep? Are you still there?
Actually, my Skype had gotten muted somehow. I was wondering why all my interruptions just didn't didn't interrupt. I don't think we're going to have a price war. I certainly think that Cameron over at DCBS is aware of, you know, he needs to work on email and that he's got competition. You know, he's probably keeping an eye on them, but he'll compete. He'll do what he has to. He'll do what makes sense, but I don't think he'll do it at the cost of his business. So I certainly don't think he's going to go down any kind of a rat hole of Pennywise, Pound Foolish or whatever. Heroes Corner is new. Maybe they can go with these discounts long term. Maybe they can't. Time will tell. It's you know, who knows? Do I think some other company could just come in, undercut everybody, and blow them all out of the water? Well, if they've got deep enough pockets, sure. But what's the benefit to them in that?
Yeah.
You know, because either they maintain those discounts or somebody else just pops up the minute they decide not to and the game's back on. Yeah, I want to get the cheapest price I can. There comes a point where you realize, like Bob was saying, you want the company to stay in business so you keep getting the best price you can, not the best price you can for a month or two or however long it takes for the company to go under.
Right. Hey, Tim, I wanted to ask you something. Sure. I know that you do actually want to get into the comic book store business. Do you foresee yourself, once you're in the business, offering any sort of, you know, specific discounts for customers or anything along those lines? Because I know that it is difficult to compete with the online stores, but just do you imagine that you'll be giving any sort of discounts when you do that?
That's a great question. And under advice from, and this is the truth, from my LCS that I go to, and this comes up, I guess, on their Comics Pro forums, the retail forums that only retailers can get on. That's a huge topic. And he strongly suggests not giving discounts, only because as a retailer in a brick and mortar store, mm-hmm. if you give a 10% discount, that's 20% of your profits. If you give a 20% discount, that's 40% of your profits you're giving up. And obviously the buyer isn't going to understand that, but sometimes you just have to be smart with what you charge. With that being said, I know what the discounts, if any, are around with every comic book shop in the area, because I've already gone ahead and talked to every single place, and what if I open up a pull list? It's a really tricky subject that I haven't decided on yet, because it's so touchy on the basic success or failure of the brick and mortar store. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to set up something just on specific levels, whether it be price levels yet. I mean, it's so touchy. And once again, one
thing
that
I... So let's talk about that, Tim. Yeah. I mean, I've got a question, because I can see not just giving an across-the-board discount to every Joe Blow that comes stumbling in the store. Mm-hmm. I can see not necessarily giving a discount to someone who buys 5 books a month. Okay? But... Yes. In this day and age, I mean, any major customer that's spending hundreds of dollars a month, mm-hmm. that you kind of want to get to be kind of a backbone of your store, I mean, it would almost seem like if they are not getting a discount from you, they're some kind of an idiot or something, because there are so many places that they could get a discount from, you know, and when you're spending a certain amount of money to not get a discount, it's a substantial difference. You know, like if you got someone spending hundreds of dollars a month, even if you give them a 20% discount, sure, you're giving up 40% of your profit, but the 60% of your profit that is left from that customer, that's a reliable, renewable revenue stream month in and month out, is going to be worth the profit you make out of 4 or 5 people that wander in and buy 3 books a month.
I absolutely agree with you, and I understand. And there's the old 20-80 adage. Are you familiar with that one, Bob?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for anyone that doesn't know that's listening, they say that 20% of your customers, and this goes for any business, makes up 80% of your business. Mm-hmm. So perfect examples are Bob and John, for as much as they spend. If they are coming into my shop, you know, and everything else. So obviously they're the minutia of only 20%. They fall in that small group, but they make up 80% of what I sell as a whole. Now, to answer your question, will I be giving a profit probably to pull list members? Absolutely. What the percentage is, I don't know. I don't know, because every different shop here works a different way. Some you have to spend X amount. Some they're pull list, you can only get a discount on not minis, but definitely on serialized. I mean, literally, it's like long math when you look at all the different shops around here. It's crazy, the ridiculous, crazy discounts and the systems they have set up. Very few have a flat X amount off, period.
And I don't have a problem with that. You know, it's like over the 30 years or 25 years or whatever, most of the shops that I've gone to have had tiered discounts. And the higher discounts are to the people who do spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month. And I think that's perfectly fine to do that. It's just like Heroes Corner. You have to spend $75 to qualify for the free shipping. I mean, it would be fiscally irresponsible for them to give free shipping for someone who orders $10 worth of comics.
See, there's
they'd be ways, losing money.
Here's the thing, though. There's other ways to do stuff. And what I mean by that, maybe it's just because I'm coming from a different background. And I believe that's what's happening with a lot of LCS, new LCS owners nowadays, is they're coming from completely different backgrounds. Yes, they're fans of the medium and everything else, but I've worked in restaurants for so long, I can't tell you how many times that I can apply that, what I'm thinking, to a comic book store. And what I mean by that is if I've got a regular that comes in all the time, we'll give the pull list example. Let's say we're giving him 10% off. You know, they have a pull list. I'm totally pulling that number out of my butt. 10% every week in, week out. I know that he is a huge Batman fan. And this is one of the people that spends a ridiculous amount in my store. You know, and he's loyal for whatever reason. Maybe there's the Alex Ross Batman statue that came out. If I bought that at cost of the store at half price and give that to him once a year, just go, you know what? This is for me. You only do it once. You only do it with your big members. It's kind of like buying that customer comes into the restaurant over and over again, loyally, once a week, once every 2 weeks. You go, you know what? The meal's on me this week. It's on us. That fan, you've got them hooked. Now, you've got to wait a little while. They have to be with you for a year, year and a half, that you know that they're loyal. And when you drop something like that on them, you can't tell me that they're not going to come back for another 6 months minimum. Because that statue, every time they look at it, they're going to think of your shop.
But what you're doing there is not so much discounting or anything of the sort. You're making them feel special. You're making them feel valued.
And that's how you can – exactly. And that's how you can circumvent – discounts.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would recommend, aside from discounts, do a rebate, something that gets them back into the store a second time to buy more things.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's many different ways. I'm talking about the long time. I think Bob was referring to the repeat customer who's spending lots and lots of money. So to get back in.
Yeah, I can just guarantee you, like, if DCBS went out of business tomorrow, I mean, I'm not going to stop buying comics, but there are comic shops that give discounts, and 10% would not cut it for me because 10% is basically covering the sales tax. You know, it's just – it's not going to do it for the amount that I spend. You know, it would have to be –
once again, I pulled 10% out of my 25. Ass, this isn't a proper forum for discussing my business plan as well. So.
Yeah. No, understood. But, I mean, that's also a common discount level for a lot of stores.
Right. And like with, for example, with Bulletproof, they offer for $20 a year. You give them $20 a year, they give you 20% off on comics. And along with that, you get no tax on video games or DVDs and no tax on statues and things along those lines. So
I've seen those around here too, where you pay for your discount.
Right. And I think that discount that I get still is valid for me because I know that I'm certainly saving a lot more than $20 with them. And even if I don't go to Bulletproof that often anymore, chances are I'm still going to keep that discount up because it'll at least be $20 that I'm giving them every year. And you know what?
And that's $20 that they're going to make the person right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. No,
yeah,
no,
you only need to spend $100 to make back the $20.
Exactly.
And break even.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how I feel about it, and that's how I know that I'm at least getting
something like that's reasonable. Something like that's reasonable.
Yeah. And Tim, I will say this. When I'm in town for Anime Boston, if you do eventually open up your shop, which I'm sure you will, I'll definitely be making special trips out to your shop at least once during my time in Boston.
Aw, now I'm just blushing. Well, let's not put the cart before the horse. Let's get the store open before
I'll come in and browse at your shop, but I won't buy a damn thing from you since you don't have a discount.
I'll do worse than that. I'll flip through everything on the racks and see what I want to order online.
Yeah, and
that's right.
And speaking for Bill will blow his nose and then he'll leave.
So, Brent, when you come into my shop, are you just basically may have like Cheetos all over your fingers and touching everything, all my products?
That, a bag of Skittles, and probably a big 32-ounce Big Gulp full of Mountain Dew.
Skittles, I don't mind. They're not
Mountain Dew Red.
Yeah, Mountain Dew Red. It'll be like a mix. So it'll be like red and green. And then I don't know if that makes purple or not. But anyway, I'll just spill it on all your comics.
You can have Mountain Dew.
I'll dip my fingers in it. I'll dip my fingers in it, and because it's so caffeinated, it'll be acidic, and I'll touch every corner of every book, and I'll just leave my mark.
You are an evil bastard.
Yeah.
And again, I speak for Bill when I think Bill just, you know, walk into your shop, sneeze, not blow his nose, and leave.
Weapon on your statues.
Even with the sneezed hand, I'll still shake his hand as he comes in.
That's fine.
I love Bill.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, so I think the main conversation is wrapped up here. We'll have final comments, obviously, once everything gets going. But we've got plenty of forum comments to go through, both on the CGS forums and on the Comic Timing forums. So let's start off on the CGS forums first. I'll read the first one, and then Brent will go back and forth from there. I am about 70% online. This is Gardner's God, by the way. I am about 70% online and 30% LCS. I get about 40 issues a month. The reason I go back to the LCS is the owner. The man is so friendly. He knew me by name by the second time I went there. He is very apt to recommend great books. I would really miss going there week to week. Why I order online? Well, the price, of course. Where else can you routinely get 50% off on first volume collections and 75% off on first issues? This is the main advantage. Of course, a disadvantage is having to order things simply off of previews blurbs and having to pay at least a month beforehand. Hell, with the DC advance solicits, sometimes that like 4 to 5 months, and don't get me started on DC Direct. As for loyalty to online services, yes, I am. I am a DCBS customer, as I believe most of us are on this forum. I was very tempted about switching to Heroes Corner this month. After talking about it with my wife, she convinced me to stay. Her basic comment was DCBS offers you great customer service, even though it is a little more. I think you should reward them with your service. We are so ready to pounce on things that upset us, I think more so in any forum community, that I think something needs to be done to praise a company that offers such great service. DCBS will continue to get my business for many instances of great service that they have shown me. Yeah, there has been online shopping and deep discount online ordering for a while, but you don't see traditional retail stores closing by the boatload. Amazon has been around, but I don't see Barnes & Noble shaking in their boots. Can't wait to listen, guys, and that's Gardner is God.
Now, I have one question, though, and I'm not critiquing Gardner is God, but there's kind of a hypocritical comment there. He says the only reason why he sticks with his shop is because he gets great service and he loves the guy and the guy knows his name and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But yet he won't leave DCBS because they give great service and blah, blah, blah. Why would he leave the LCS? He hasn't left, I know, before you attack me. But you know what I mean, though? Do you see sort of the same
reason I did it, Tim.
Dynamic?
The same reason that I did it at first. And it is, I can love somebody to death, but I'm not a charity. And to a certain extent, I am not going to pay an extra $50, $100, $200 a month to somebody just because I like them.
Right.
I still say that the LCS is the girl that you won't marry, but you'll go back to fuck whenever you're horny.
That's to some extent true. And, you know, it's
God bless
those
women.
That's not a completely apt, you know, thing, but, you know, at the same time, I am not willing to pay several hundred dollars a month to somebody for sparkling conversation.
See, in that case, terrorists win. You know,
the terrorists win. Yes, exactly, Tim. You're entirely right about that. Damn you, terrorists. Damn you, comic book terrorists. Die.
You know, and even $50 a month. I mean, it's like, there's a certain dollar figure you can put on someone knowing your name, at least for me, and being a overall great guy and all this kind of stuff. And it's somewhere less than $50 a month for me, you know?
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. I'm willing to stick with a shop and give them lots and lots of business and all kinds of things like this. But, you know, there's a certain point that that is just going to break down because I'm not going to pay tremendous amounts of extra money if they're not willing to come across with the discounts. And right. Same thing for your shop, Tim. You know, it's like, hey, I can love you to death as a person, and if I'm getting 10% from you and getting 40% from somebody else, sorry, I don't love you that much.
Shit talks, money walks, right?
I'll buy a couple of things, you know. But
I think you screwed up that cliche.
I thought that was right.
I'm going to charge you an extra 10% of my shop over top of the cover price because I think I can pull it off with you.
What's the correct one?
Isn't it shit talks? Excuse me, no. shit walks, money talks?
Yes.
Well, in this case, money walks because he's walking away from the store.
Whatever. Try to – yeah, fine. You're right.
This isn't the question of if I'd save a couple of bucks between – Heroes Corner or DCBS or whatever online store, I am saving about as much as I'm spending a month by going to DCBS versus going to a full for a local store here.
Once again, I've got to reiterate that, John, you and Bob buying such giant bulk loads compared to everyone that it's kind of an unfair comparison. You have to admit that.
No, I don't, because I think while the savings aren't going to be as big and stuff, it's a 40% savings more or less across the board. Are people going to be saving hundreds of dollars? No. Are they going to be saving potentially the equivalent of what they might be spending or whatever? I mean, again, the percentages with the shipping, et cetera, being involved, whatever, kind of hold true to a certain degree.
Hey, I could have saved money by switching to Geico, but I just hate that gecko.
See, but in that same vein, though, John, I find it kind of insulting that when someone goes, oh, my LCS guy, he's great, and I like him, and he remembers me, and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Eh, screw him. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of in that same sort of vein.
It's not screw
him. No, we're not saying that at all. I spend more at the local shops here than a lot of people who claim to be these huge comic fans and stuff spend in a given month online. And that's beyond all this crap I'm spending. Same with Bob and other stuff.
Yes. Yeah,
maybe we're major anomalies or whatever, but the fact that we are potentially as good of a customer locally as people who don't shop online and we shop online, I'm really not seeing the downside here.
The final take on this is that we all love each other and can I hug you all? That's what this is here, because the arguing, it just makes me cry. I'm sorry. I love you guys.
No. I don't see it as arguing. I mean, John and Bob both know that I love them. It's just different, I guess, sort of mindsets. You know, different loyalties, and neither one is wrong. That's the one thing to realize. Mm-hmm. Neither one is wrong. You know,
I just don't see it as disrespecting a shop owner when I make a fiscal decision. You know, it's like I can love this guy as much as, you know, anything, but that doesn't mean I am going to essentially give him a $100 welfare check every month.
Wait a second.
Because I love it.
The reason why I brought it up, remember, was within the forum post saying the reason why they won't switch from DCBS to Heroes Corner was out of loyalty.
It's the same thing because the difference is so small. You know, like I'll tell you what, I love Cameron, but if I was saving $100 a month at Heroes Corner and I thought that that was a sustainable savings, that Heroes Corner was not going to put themselves out of business in 6 months giving me that discount, I'd switch to Heroes Corner.
Yeah. Here,
I don't love him that much.
Here's a totally different, you know, and this isn't the LCS thing. I'm going complete online. And this may be the future of online buying, actually. Something that we've all said earlier, you know, different shops have different discounts. What if, say, a DCBS or a Heroes Corner coming out the gates makes a statement like, okay, our discounts are based on tiers. The more you order, the bigger the discount. I don't think, is there any online?
Some do.
That? Really?
Westfield does. Yeah, there are ones that do that.
Now, with Westfield, I just didn't know if, you know, that might be a more competitive way of doing it. I don't know. I'm totally thinking out.
Well, it's certainly possible. Well,
a couple of quick comments. One, the amount I'm saving by shopping online versus locally is the equivalent of what I'm spending on Marvel, Image, and Wildstorm. So, I mean, I could drop all of those and shop online, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
I also, while we've been talking, did comparisons for Comics Now and M&M, since Bill had mentioned those.
Okay.
And Comics Now comes in at about an effective 33.32% discount with the total out of pocket. And I didn't look into shipping or any kind of bonus discounts or whatever, being $447 and – let's see. For Comics Now, hang on. $434.41. M&M had an effective discount of 31.32% for a total of $447.38. So it wind up, based on the, you know, the total cost and stuff, being Heroes Corner by a slim margin of a couple of bucks to DCBS, followed by Comics Now, M&M, My Comic Shop, Necosphere, and Westfield, with the local shop, Full Boat, coming in a couple hundred dollars behind, or at least $100 behind Westfield.
Okay. Cool.
So,
yeah,
for what little that's worth.
Yeah, so you want to move on to Julian Lytle?
All right. Julian Lytle says, for me, it's price. I never really shopped much at LCS growing up, but I've been reading comics for 20 years. I'm 27, and I didn't have a regular shop until I went to art school in New York City and found Hanley's. Damn, I missed that place. When I graduated, came home, found a shop because good friends with the owner, and I shopped there all the time. He had to close down the shop, and that's about the time CGS started and talked all about DCBS, and I jumped in head first. One of the main things is that it's paying about $2 a book, which is what the prices were in the late 90s, so I can probably continue to afford comics until the prices jump more to $225, $250 for a regular book with a discount. I don't really buy more books, but I do buy more hardcovers this way. I'm now a free agent in terms of comic shops. I go around just for the atmosphere and occasionally buy a comic. One thing that keeps me shopping in shops are HeroClix. I judge games and play in them, so I buy those all the time in LCS and game stores. That's my tale.
Cool. And Julian Lytle was on the show once. He's awesome. The end.
Okay. What a tale it was.
Yes, indeed. All right. Now it's on for the big boys. As by big boys, I mean there are a hell of a lot of big posts in the Comic Timing forums. So let's get through these with as little damage as possible. Equinox was the first one to post. I've actually been ordering books from DCBS for almost a year now. The early part of the transition was pretty hard to adjust to, since I'd been getting my books weekly for almost 20 years previously. The excellent customer service the DCBS staff provides really made changing over much easier than I first thought it would be, and the additional discounts they offer on special issues is great. One additional note, when I first started ordering from them, I had included previews as part of my orders. Now I don't buy it because the online resource for previewing upcoming books actually makes more sense to use. Also, the comic forums also have helped turn me on to titles that I wouldn't have picked up before, which is a great help. And that's an interesting point that Equinox makes, that, you know, with all the online places, you know, using previews the way they do, actually having a physical copy of previews when you order online is less important.
I think it's what you get out of previews. Personally, I love reading previews. And, you know, it's like a buck something through DCBS. It's really cheap. And it's almost like I'm older than you guys. So, right. I mean, I used to, you know, like the Sears catalog or the Penny's catalog at Christmas. You'd be looking through it and circling all the toys you want and stuff.
Yeah.
That's how it is each month for me. I get hours of enjoyment out of looking at all the different things in previews. That being said, if I only read Marvel and DC, I could probably do without the previews catalog. The best part about the previews catalog is all that stuff at the end, because there is really not adequate coverage of all that indie stuff
right. In
any concise collected format online.
That's true.
Yeah. I can't imagine getting comics without getting previews.
Yeah.
Regardless of online. I mean, I used it when I shopped locally.
I Am Hannah says, I do both. I do order online through DCBS, in-stock trades, and Amazon, but I also go to my local comic shop. I buy mostly trades there. The only two books I'm currently buying monthly are Action Comics and Superman. Everything else we've gotten in trade. Ordering through DCBS, I save a lot of money, so I get more for what I was going to originally spend. I like that, so instead of getting 5 or 6 trades for $100, I can get more like 10 or 11 for the same $100, depending on the discount. It's also easier to get the non-DC and Marvel stuff online than it is in any store. When I go to the shop every week, I pick up whatever catches my eye that I know I didn't order from DCBS, usually two or three trades that I buy, and I wind up adding five more on my to-buy list on that day. I do see online ordering in the local comic shop existing for a long time, mostly due to the fact that a lot of comic shops just aren't open from 11 to 5 anymore. They have longer hours with parties and other events that get people to come to the stores and spend their money. Also, having stores where you like people that work there and enjoy stepping in and talking for a bit always helps. Browsing is another reason. I know every time I go to a shop, I see a few things I missed and that look interesting. Even if I don't pick them up that day, I remember which books they were for a later time. And though browsing for books on Amazon is fun, you can't flip through it and see if you're into that kind of book.
Right.
And that's a huge factor that, surprisingly, I have never even brought up. It's just the actual tactile. You know, there's things that I thought, well, you know, that book's really – it's got me, you know, excited. Sometimes I go to the store and I flip through it and I go, not for me. You know, and the other times I flip through and I go, oh, my God, absolutely. Throw this in the, you know, in the basket. This is on the way out. This is with me going out the store.
Yeah.
Not mutually exclusive, which is why John and I spend $100 a month in local comic shops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, that and she did bring up a good point also, because one of the things that brings me into certain comic shops around where I am are the parties and the signings and that sort of thing. Like a Rocket Ship, for example, in Brooklyn – the only time I ever go to Rocket Ship is when they're having an event. And most of the time when I go to Rocket Ship for these events, I end up buying at least one thing in the store. So they are getting my money that way.
And usually that's what they're hoping for, is the pay for the event that they break even on events.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. This one's from Brandon Indigo Fire. My only experience with ordering comics online has been with in-stock trades. I would switch to DCBS, but it's the whole delayed gratification which puts my mind at ill ease. Plus, I feel somewhat of an obligation to my LCS to shop there on a regular basis. As for in-stock trades, I'll continue to support Cameron in this venture. He's got great sight, lots of variety in his selection, and he's personally available if you have any ordering questions. Not many sites can fare better than that, but that's just my 2 cents. And it was about 2 cents, so I thank Brandon for that.
All right, here we go to get into the longer ones. Yeah. Iculus says, I have a somewhat grudging LCS customer for about four years. Our town only had one shop, and they were not that great. No discounts, no customer service. Hell, they even had to ask my name every single week to get my list. Come on, I'm dropping $25 a week in your store. Learn my name. So I really had no remorse about switching to DCBS when I discovered their discounts. Did a couple orders with them, but the monthly shipping drove me nuts. Waited a long time for books, but before long, 52 started up and an excuse to switch to bi-monthly shipping, which was more acceptable. I am very happy with DCBS, even when I switched back to monthly shipping post 52. About the same time Countdown started up, I discovered that a new shop had opened in my town, and I was blown away by the friendliness and customer service. Started buying about 4 books from them each month and really enjoyed hanging out with people there this week. Or every week, each week. But their lack of discounts kept me at DCBS. One week, the owner of the LCS mentioned that I seemed to know a lot about what was going on in books that I wasn't buying. I admitted that a lot of that knowledge came from things like Newsrama and various podcasts, us, but I was buying other books from DCBS. He offered me to give me an across-the-board 35% discount to bring my business to him. I did the math and saw that I was getting 37 to 38% on average from DCBS, so the difference was not that great. As a result, I've been buying everything from the LCS since. I've had a great experience with DCBS, but given the choice between good online service and a good local shop, I'm going with the place that gives me a group of people to actually talk to. And what does that say for us?
Yeah.
I would do that same thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If the guy gave me that offer, hell, you got my business.
If he could come close to matching what I'm getting online and stuff, sure, it'd be a little more whatever. But if it was in the ballpark or whatever and he made that effort, I'd certainly consider it.
Yeah.
You have to admit that 35% discount is huge for any LCS.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard an LCS give that much.
Right. And also he made the comment about the biweekly shipping versus the monthly shipping. And again, one of the only reasons why I was okay with getting monthly shipping for my order that I made this month with Heroes Corner is because I'm incredibly behind on my reading. And I have a feeling I will continue to be incredibly behind on my reading come March. So I am going to take those extra days and read all of the comics that I have not read.
Now, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. The monthly shipping versus the biweekly versus the weekly, mm-hmm. do you think that in some way that trains you in your reading habits? Because me, since I know the next stuff's coming out Wednesday, and if I don't read it now, I'm not going to get back to it.
Right. Well,
it forces me to read it. You know, it kind of like you hit that cadence of reading. Got to finish it. Got to finish it. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. I don't feel nearly as urgent to read my DCBS stuff as I do with my weekly stuff. And I don't know whether or not it's a psychic block or something, but I, on a regular basis, will read 4 or 5 issues in one sitting of a comic book more now than I ever did before, now that I'm getting stuff from DCBS. However, all the stuff I get weekly, I'm taking with me on the train to finish if I need to. And that's what I do on a regular basis. I go in from Brooklyn to Manhattan every day. I've got 45 minutes on my commute. I pop on a podcast, I read some comics, and then I'm at work.
I do the same thing. I was just going to say that I read 2 comics into work, 2 comics back to work. It's usually my time frame, the way it plays out.
That sounds pretty much what I do. Yeah, and then Brent responded, this guy Brent, I don't know who he is. Wow, I wish my LCS would offer me that discount. I'm sure that's exactly what he sounds like. That's why I did that voice.
Now, here's the fun thing about it when you read on public transportation. Mm-hmm. But when you see someone that is honestly kind of looking over your shoulder while you're reading a comic, kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. In fact,
a geeky way.
Yeah.
And on top of it, if I've caught this before, if I see a kid kind of catching and seeing me reading, if it's an age-appropriate book, I just give it to him when I'm done.
And there have been times when kids and adults alike. Oh, dear. I don't want him to be the next Ian Levinstein. He could be somebody else. But specifically, there have been times, and actually one of the first Geek Speaks I ever did, I talked about this once, where I was reading a issue of Wolverine. It was the Mark Miller issue that he did with the concentration camp with Wolverine, where the Nazis kept killing him and he kept coming back. And he was causing this, you know, like craziness going on in the concentration camp. I remember that there was a somewhat religious Jew-looking woman sitting next to me, and she was reading over my shoulder the entire time. And she, once I was done with the issue, I just sort of like glanced over to her real quickly, and she gave me this like sort of like nod and a smile, like it's okay, I approve, and then walked away.
Because she likes mutants?
I guess. I don't know. But no, just in general, I think it was just because of the story itself that she was, you know, willing to read it. But there have been other times, too, where they have been kids, and they've certainly been reading over my shoulder for that. So I can certainly agree with that. Raph Wraithmaker had this to say. Ian,
he
whoever,
doesn't matter.
That's yeah, funny. I know. Never mind. Ian and whoever knows me knows this already, but for the show's sake, I'll repeat it. My LCS owner worked for Marvel and DC in the 60s and 70s as a ghostwriter. He worked for such luminaries as Jack Kirby, Carmine Infantino, Neil Adams, Stan Lee, and Rich Buckler. I've been going to his store since I was 12 years old, and he's my first LCS. He's been telling me stories about his time with Marvel and DC, and since I've embraced writing for comics, he pushes me very hard. He's sort of a mentor and father figure to me, but not in an overly heavy, weepy movie way. I spent a lot of time in his store talking about comics and the industry and the craft of comics and script writing. He's also given me some bonuses over the years, like an original Gil Kane Superman page, free. And wow to that. That's really cool. That sounds really awesome. His selection covered mostly the Big Two, with maybe 15-25% of his weekly comics non-Big Two. He has the same deal as Midtown Comics, which is $20 credit for every 100 spent, which is a 17% discount. Any independent books or stuff my guy doesn't get, I get at Midtown Comics. This was prior to DCBS. Now I get 60% of my books via DCBS. Usually Big Two books my guy doesn't get, and independent books. I rarely go to Midtown except for trades and books my guy didn't get. I have nothing against Midtown Comics. In fact, I want to work for them, but the friendship and loyalty to my LCS guy is keeping me from leaving him, as it should. Rarely do you get good comic shop owners, so you want to be their patron as long as you can, because if they're small business, they can go broke and you lose that great store. And it's sad for me to go down here. I'm going to immediately go down to the last post that that Raph made on here. As an addendum to my post, I think my LCS has sadly been kicked out of his store. He hasn't been open in 2 weeks. Support local LCS if you love it. Seriously. The amount of knowledge and stories from the industry will never be replicated again for me unless I were to actually work for the big two. I learned to really love the industry and the medium from my LCS owner, and it's a shame what happened to him. I'm not going to go any further with that because I don't know all the details and everything. And that's kind of sad to hear, Raph. And I certainly hope that, you know, something does happen where he's able to open up again. But if not, then, well, I kind of know how you feel. So, you know, hang in there, buddy. As an addendum to what Raph was just talking about, actually, there is an addendum to what he just said. Actually, his guy was not kicked out of his shop, so that's good to hear. However, it's currently closed because, well, according to him, the guy actually doesn't have enough heat to be in the place on a regular basis during these winter months, which is not exactly a good thing. So hopefully he'll get that resolved. But yes, as of now, Raph's lovely LCS is still opened, so congratulations on Raph for that, because, well, it sounded like he was getting a bit depressed about that, and depressed Raph is not something you want to deal with. Trust me. No, seriously. Trust me. Seriously.
See, and this is what I'm talking about. This is the community. This is, you know, you can't buy this online.
Right. Right.
You don't need to buy it online.
It's free!
Yeah.
All right, Iculus has this again, commenting on that Brent guy saying he wants that discount at a local shop. I know I was blown away when he offered it. Still use the DCBS spreadsheet to put together my order, and I give it to him each month. Make sure to point out when I'm buying something off the shelf that I didn't pre-order, and I take no discount on those items. But as long as it's on my pre-order, the discount applies. And the shop owner asked him not to spread the word, so we didn't say who the shop owner's name was or what the shop was or where he lives.
Yeah.
All right. Equinox says this quickly to say, the regular store discounts sold sound much more in line with what my LCS offers to customers. If I could see going to an LCS if they offered me a 35% discount on any pre-ordered books and required to have the order prepaid, that would generate guaranteed income for the shop, plus would enable me to get my books on a weekly basis instead of monthly shipping.
That's a really good point, Tim. You know, and that's an advantage that the shops have, that the online shops have, because they're prepaid, so those are guaranteed sales for them, right?
Oh yeah.
So that's another point where I'd be willing to prepay like that in order to get the higher discount. So another thing to consider if you're a shop, because, you know, if you say, hey, we'll give you this higher discount, but, you know, and we'll guarantee we'll have the things for you, but you got to prepay it, because, you know, it'll kill a shop to, you know, have people leave their pull list for 3 months and not pick it and not pay for it. Now they're eating that expense for that period of time.
I absolutely agree with you. And on the other end of that, and I'm definitely not negating what you're saying by any means, but, you know, everyone picks up books in different cycles. You know, I'm an every week guy. I can't help it. I know there are people with certain comic shops that come in once a month. There are some people who come in once every 3 months. And even if it's prepaid, if it sits there, if someone who comes in once a month doesn't come in for 6 weeks, you start to wonder, are they ever going to come back?
Right, right.
Yeah. You know, it's a whole other dynamic that's really tricky, I believe.
And that's where you need a policy like.
But if it's prepaid, you don't have to care, and you should have their phone number and email address, so that you could at least give them a call and say, "Hey, you know, is everything okay?"
You know, you should have enough information about the customer to know if he's breaking habit or not.
Right. Yeah.
Is he just on a business trip, or is he mysteriously gone for some reason?
Well, that's like
they end up not coming back, you know, for 6 weeks. You know, now it's 2 months, and you're like, okay, this is taking up room it's literally taking up room. So then you start to wonder, I'm basically becoming his storage bin. Where do I put this? Because he's paid for it. It's his. I can't sell the product. I can't throw it away. It's paid for. I'm gonna have to refund him if I try to move to something.
You know what?
Well, there comes a point where there's an abandonment clause.
You're getting into such a weird side case. I mean, how frequently is that really going to happen?
I think it happens more often than you believe.
No, it doesn't. I have the same thing happen at work where, I mean, you're in like a what we call analysis paralysis, where you're obsessing so much on the weird-ass side cases that could possibly go wrong, you know, one out of a thousand times, that you're missing the core point.
Right.
Well, here's the
which
thing,
is, though, you know, it's like, here's a good thing. Somebody prepays, so you immediately go to the one case out of a thousand that's going to make that a bad thing. And
no,
you obsess about it.
And I absolutely understand your point. And you're right to an extent, but then you also have to agree with, we're both speculating without really knowing how it actually works.
The thing is, once you identify that case, you do something to take it into account. It's like, okay, there needs to be an abandonment clause. You know, if he doesn't come in with an X amount of time, you have the right to consider it having been bought for and left and abandoned, and therefore you can either resell it or do whatever you want to it.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was trying to say earlier, is that my old LCS guy had a one-month limit. You know, you had a one-month grace period, and if you didn't pick up your books that month, he would just throw them out, put them back on the shelf, and sell them. And that's probably because he's a smaller shop, so he can't afford to have, you know, back stock. You know, nobody came in his shop to go and buy, like, the last two or three issues of New Avengers. They came in simply for that week because they're on the pull list. He was that kind of small. Like, when the new shop owner took over, I went in there a couple weeks ago, and all of the back issues he just put on sale for $1. Everything, which is all pretty recent, just for $1, when any other store would have raised him up. So he's trying to get rid of his back stock. So that's, you probably have to have a quick policy. In 3 months, I would assume that guy's not coming back unless he told me specifically, I'm going to China.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You have a phone number, you have an email address.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and if they don't return emails and phone calls for 3 months, you know, c'est la vie.
Mm-hmm. I would wait months if I were that. Any shop owner.
We're talking about prepaid stuff, Brent. Not stuff sitting unpaid.
Well, when I was working at a camp, I was gone for an entire summer, and I actually handed my LCS what I was going to purchase for the next, I believe it was 3 months. And I handed that to him. Okay, it was more 2 months because it was July and August. But I handed him a list, and I said, you know, for the next 2 months, I don't normally have a pull list, but for the next 2 months, can you put these aside for me? And I'll try and get people to come in to buy something at least once a month, and that's the way it'll go. And Hank was happy enough to do that for me, and that's the way it went. So I got my parents to ship me comics every 3 weeks or so, or sometimes even a month, and that's just the way it went. And when I did get them, I was happy. I'm sure they were happy, too, to get rid of the merchandise, but they did hold on to it because I specifically told them to. But I know for certain,
again,
had I not told them to, it wouldn't happen.
Right, and that's not an abandonment because you've made a specific effort. You know, it's like if I was going to go out of the country on business for 6 weeks, and if I told them, hey, I'm going to be out of town for 6 weeks, you know, here's what's the story. And, you know, they're cool with that. And I assume Tim would be also. He's just going down this path of like some dude like vanishes off the face of the earth and doesn't respond to phone calls and all this kind of stuff, which I think is relatively uncommon when the things are prepaid.
Unless, of course, you're on an oceanic flight.
Yeah, much higher instances of that. I would agree with you when a person is using your money, Tim, and they have not prepaid for those books.
Oh, no, I understand that. But it is one of those sort of situations and topics that I truly wish my LCS manager is on the line here, that I could sit back and just let them speak from experience rather than me speak from speculation.
Right. But at this point, he would have fallen asleep because it's already 1:30. All right. Here we go. let's move on to Preche, who, of course, is one of the co-hosts of the Geek Nights podcast. So definitely want to give him love for that. To why do you shop online? He answers with, I don't just buy comics online. I buy as much online as I possibly can. The reasons for this are many. The prices are lower. The selection is better. I don't have to deal with salespeople or other customers getting in my way. I'm the kind of person who researches every purchase I make, and I know exactly what I want. Buying online allows me to get exactly what I want with no hassle. However, the number one reason I buy as much online as possible is because my time is more valuable than my money. To buy a book on Amazon takes under a minute. To buy a book at the bookstore requires me to drive, park, find, wait in line, and drive again. Unless I need something immediately, which is incredibly rare, I avoid going to retail stores as much as possible. The only retail store I go to regularly is the grocery store. If I lived somewhere with proper grocery delivery, I wouldn't even go there. And
way to be a hobbit, dude.
Oh, boy.
He doesn't say he never goes out. He just said he doesn't like to go to retail stores. Exactly. I mean, I appreciate that. He can go out to movies. He can go out to concerts, mm-hmm. dance clubs. And he's having a good time. He's not standing in line, you know, at Borders or something for 20 minutes, you know, which I can see that.
I call him a fool for not using Peapod. You guys know what Peapod is?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. It's national. They deliver the groceries from the grocery store to your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You put the order online.
Fresh Direct. Fresh Direct is another one of those.
Okay, move on.
All right.
There's a lot to be said about the convenience, though, because, you know, I get my DCBS stuff delivered to a UPS store, so there's somebody there to sign for it, et cetera.
Yeah.
It takes me maybe 2-3 minutes to go in, get the package, and I'm gone. I mean, it would take longer than that for me to walk into the store, have them go get my books from the back, you know, and for me to just check to make sure everything was there or whatever, see if I need to get anything off the rack, not counting the 10 minutes or whatever it would take them to ring me up.
Right. Yeah. So he then says also, going with that, the advantages and disadvantages to ordering online comics is the only disadvantages for me is that I have to buy a lot of books sight unseen. Ideally, I would like to buy comics online but not have to pre-order them. However, the way the direct market works, if you don't pre-order, there is no discount and it ruins the deal. In all other aspects, ordering online has every advantage. Some people might say that not getting the books immediately as they come out is a disadvantage. I think these people have no patience. The books are going to be the same books 10 years from now that they are today. They aren't going anywhere. This isn't time-sensitive information we're getting here. It's timeless entertainment media. As long as I have at least one unread comic in my room, new ones can wait. What's the hurry? And that makes perfect sense right there. If you order online, do you miss in-store feel? He says, going to an LCS can be fun sometimes. I like looking at geeky stuff and occasionally finding things I never knew existed. There's an opportunity to meet other geeks also. Despite this, going to the LCS on a regular basis is not so fun that I'm going to do it more than a few times a year. Also, going to the LCS often makes it less fun. If you go to an LCS every week, you see the same stuff week in and week out. It's much more fun to just go to shops you've never been to or haven't been to in a long while. I'm definitely not going to intentionally make a special trip just to look at geeky stuff on a shelf. The time it takes is not worth it.
Go ahead. I want to stop a second. What are the advantages, disadvantages? The one thing that I think no one said, and I didn't even, just hit me until right now, even though it's time sensitive, it is depending upon your lifestyle.
Right.
What I mean by that is if you are online and you get it from an online, even if you get it weekly, you're getting what? What do you guys get it, Monday?
Yeah, I get it Friday usually for me.
Okay, well, even – so it comes out on Wednesday. If it's something big that happened, Newsarama, The Beat, everyone's going to have – post, and from there it's going to be on the forums and blah blah blah, and you know everyone says, oh, it ruined it for me. You know, even if you put the spoilers, you know, that's, you know, the nice thing to do, you know, if it's a forum sort of a thing. But if someone stumbles upon something on Newsarama or CBR, you know what, you know, I believe in that sense they're catering to the normal LCS crowd, which I believe are the mass majority of buyers. So I don't think anyone who basically, you know, no one can really complain if something came out in a book on Wednesday is then reported on Thursday. But I see a lot of people.
Oh, I certainly can, because even when I was getting stuff at a local store, I'd pick it up on Wednesday. I usually had Wednesday night planned, so I wasn't going to read it that night. If it's on the net the next day, come on. At least give me till the weekend or something to read it.
But they and no when I was getting shit. Mine, when I was getting mine, Tim, even when I got up from the local shop, I didn't pick it up on Wednesday. I'm usually traveling during the week. My standard day to pick up my books was on Saturday.
But I'm debating the time sensitive thing. Now, do these different websites have an obligation not to say anything until a certain period afterwards?
Well, I agree that there is a certain time sensitivity if you're online, but you can easily defeat that by, you know, like me, I don't go to Newsarama.
That's true.
You know, it's I've gotten hosed by them enough times that I just refuse to go to Newsarama.
Hence why I said, well, it's not really hosed. It's only hosed within, as I said, your lifestyle and your way of looking at things.
Yeah, my way of not wanting to have a story ruined for me before I'm able to read it.
Well, I'm just referring to the time-sensitive statement.
Yeah, and we're in agreement that there is a time sensitivity to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, do you continue to stop into your LCS? He said, when I got back into comics around 2000, 2001, I went to the LCS because I didn't realize there was another option. When my job moved me to the middle of nowhere, I started ordering online from Midtown. Then I learned about DCBS, and I switched it up. I only go to an LCS on Free Comic Book Day or if there is some other rare or convenient occurrence. He said, is there loyalty to the online retailer? He said, I have no loyalty when it comes to buying things. It's purely an economic decision. I will buy from whichever place offers the service I demand at the lowest price, which the least time and effort on my part. How many titles do you get a month versus in the store? He said, I get essentially everything online. I also buy mostly trades and not titles, so this question doesn't really apply. He said, do you save money online or do you order more for the same price as you would in the store? He says, it's very hard to tell. There are too many factors to determine if price is the only one that matters. I can say these things for sure. Shopping online, I do buy 75-cent comics that I otherwise would not buy. I also end up ordering comics I end up not liking. That in the LCS I would not have bought because I would have been able to see them on the shelf. I also buy more comics now than I used to, but that might be because of other factors such as me being more aware of the comics that are available thanks to podcasts and such. Also, many comics I want are available to be ordered online that the LCS did not carry. Personally, I think that I will eventually buy every comic I want to own. If I had to do it at an LCS without a discount, I would wind up buying the same comics, just fewer at a time over a longer period of time. And finally, do you believe there will come a point where LCSs will be gone in favor of online? He says, as long as there are enough old fogies with nostalgia / loyalty to the LCS, and as long as there are Luddites who can't or won't order online, some LCSs will stay in business. So congratulations, Mr. Old Fogey Tim.
I'm sorry, what was that, Tiki?
I was going to say, that's a bit insulting.
Yeah, no more so than your analogy, but yes, I would agree with that.
Where's Matt Sunny? Rich? Where's my
Torch Song? Torch Song's been on the show before for the anime episode. He says, why do you shop online? Convenience, pure and simple. The comic that I order from DCBS is the same comic I'm going to be getting at my local shop. The only difference is DCBS is cheaper and I have to wait a little longer for it. These are the benefits I'm willing to make. Advantages, disadvantages. Advantage. Price and access to a wider range of material than I get in my shop. Retail orders are limited by shelf space as to what they can show, so a good indie book is going to lose out to the event of the month that one of the big two is doing. Online stores have an unlimited shelf space. Can you imagine Amazon if it were a retail store that showed everything it would sold? It'd be enormous.
Enormous.
A new word every time on Comic Diamond. Disadvantage. I have to wait to get what I ordered, and there's always the risk of a damaged product. The waiting isn't an issue, as I've just discovered. It's a thrill to get that big box at the end of the month, as it is to every Wednesday on Comic Book Day. If I order online, do you miss the in-store feel? Not really. I have a great LCS, don't get me wrong. I enjoy going in there, but I'm not in the store for camaraderie or to shoot the shit. I'm there to pick up my books, maybe browse a bit. I do continue to shop at my LCS even though I order online, just not as nearly as I used to. I try to spread out my comic money between DCBS, the local shop, and even bookstores like Borders. What's nice about the less frequent trips to the shop is that I usually find something new and different as opposed to when I went every week. As a result, I usually wind up walking out with something new. Loyalty to an online retailer, same as the LCS. You go with what serves you best. I'm a relative newbie to DCBS, maybe 7 months into it now, and I've been nothing but happy with their service. It's kind of a weird equation. Cost plus quality of service equals my business. There might be companies out there who are cheaper, but if they can't offer a quality service, I'm probably more inclined to stick with whoever service I'm using. How many titles do you get a month in either of the two mediums? Here's where it gets funny. I'm buying more single issues now than I ever did before, and it's pretty much because DCBS allows me to do so. Full retail at the LCS just doesn't work when these books are inching towards $4 a pop. Books like Clandestine, which might have warranted a read-through in the store, are now getting bought because of the lower price online. Do you save money online, or do you just spend more? I would regularly spend about $30 to $40 a week on comics, given the occasional light week where I only bought one book. When do you ever have those, eh? I'd say I'd spend anywhere from $120 to $150 a month on comic. $200 if I'm really buying a lot. Woo. My highest order on DCBS has been $80 for a month's worth of books and figures, and that's actually getting more product as if I'd gone to the local shop. And finally, do you believe there will be a point when online will take over the local shop or coexistence? I won't sound the death knell for the LCS, but in order for them to survive, they're going to have to change. They have to offer more to the customer than, hey, I'm going to go in here and buy a comic. I can do that online, cheaper, and with less hassle. Some local shops, like the one I go to, understand this and have branched out to offer card games, manga with discounts, replica weaponry, toys, art supplies, and a host events, something an online store can't do. Signings, workshops, how-tos. These are the ways LCS can stay active in a community by creating that community. And that's a good end wrap-up from Torch Song. Thank you, buddy.
Amen to that. Yeah, he reiterates a lot of what's been said before, but he does a good job of it. So he needs to be on the show again soon. Damn it.
We should have him on again.
Yes, we do. Definitely. And another guy who's going to be on the show soon, Wood. Why do you shop online? I think the better question to ask is why some people don't shop online. Tim, honestly, online shopping has become the de facto way of commerce for me. It's a combination of convenience and pricing. As a married father of two who runs a family of hedge funds and has angel investments in a few startups, there is nothing more precious to me than time. Were it not for the internet, broadly speaking, I couldn't accomplish a third of what I'm able to do each day. It's hard enough to find time to read comics, much less make a regular trip to an LCS to sift through the racks. By ordering online, I'm optimizing my purchases. Not only is it faster, but it's far easier to keep track of what I'm buying and to make sure I never accidentally miss out on an issue of interest. Last but certainly not least, pricing is a tremendous incentive. I'm in the grateful position of not having to worry too much about what I spend on things like comics, but since most people do watch what they spend, I can't fathom how anyone can justify spending 20 to 40% more at an LCS. That's too much of a discount to pass up. To the advantages and disadvantages, he says, I've already talked about the advantages, convenience, reliability, and price. The biggest disadvantage is the necessity to pre-order things 2 to 3 months in advance. This can be problematic for two reasons. One, it forces you to choose to try things sometimes that you might have otherwise waited to flip through on the stands or read about online first. Two,
brand new day.
Yes, like brand new day. In fact, I'm just going to skip. Well, you know what? I could skip. But you know what I'll say is
he first. Said it. Yeah. He actually said it.
Two, and something that happens to me more often, it can lead to you committing to buying books you might have otherwise decided to stop reading. For example, I detested the end to Amazing Spider-Man. Brand new day and no longer plan on reading Spider-Man as a result. However, I had already pre-ordered Amazing Spidey through my mail order service. And since it's now thrice monthly, I've already, in effect, purchased 6 issues worth of a comic I otherwise would have dropped. And by dropped, he means put in the fire. If you do order online, do you miss the in-store feel? He says not at all. Unfortunately, the majority of LCSs are ramshackle. Ooh, ramshackle. Nice word. Very nice word.
You do learn something new every time on Comic Timing.
Yes.
We learned the proper use of that cliche, which is not the way I said it, and we learned ramshackle.
Yes.
Did you put an educational note next to our title?
Comic Timing is edumacational. All right. Yeah, not at all. Unfortunately, the majority of LCSs are ramshackle, run-down places where the clerks need major lessons in customer service. If I had an awesome LCS near me, something like Lem's Golden Eagle in Reading or James Syme's Isotope in California, I would definitely miss the experience. But the LCS near my home are nothing like that. There are some great ones in New York City, woo-woo, where I work, and I continue to stop into them from time to time when I'm jonesing for an LCS fix. No, he did not actually write woot-woot. I said it myself. Do you continue to stop into your LCS even though you order online? He said, I probably stop into Midtown Comics, woo-woo, in New York City about once a month, usually to pick up some single issues that I choose not to pre-order online. For example, I stopped in last week and bought the Death of the New Gods and Crime Bible issues from DC. Many times I won't pre-order a miniseries from the Big Two unless I'm sure it's something of interest. If it gets stellar reviews, I may wait for the trade. If it gets okay reviews, I usually will run to Midtown and pick up the floppies. Woo woo! I also make a point of spending a good sum at great LCSs when my travels take me there. Twice a year, I hit the Wild Pig 50% off sale and spend a boatload, and did the same at Golden Eagle when CGS hosted their episode 300 there. Woo! Wow, I'm talking really fast. Okay, the loyalty to an online retailer, same as LCS. He says, for me, there is a sense of loyalty regardless of it being online or local. To me, it's not just about saving money. I also appreciate that the online retailer makes it easier for me to buy and track my orders. And I give them points for quick and friendly customer service, how well they package my books, and how easily they fix the inevitable mistake or two that crop up from time to time. How many titles do you get a month versus online and in store? I've been answering most of these questions with the mindset towards monthly floppies, but I actually do four types of online buying. I buy about 75 to 80 monthly books from an online retailer. I also probably buy anywhere from 3 to upwards of a dozen trades monthly online, most coming from in-stock trades. I also make liberal use of eBay and MyComicShop.com for back-issue buying. Do you save money online, or do you simply order more comics? He says probably a little bit of both. I don't have a monthly budget per se, but I do buy a lot more monthly titles than I probably would because it feels like there's more fairly priced. Psychologically, the idea that I'm getting to read a book at 40% off cover price makes me far more willing to try new titles and to stick with those that might be in the midst of mediocre arcs. And he says, and finally, do you believe there will come a point where LCSs will be gone in favor of online? He says, I certainly think it's inevitable. To be clear, there will always be local comic shops, and there's always time for comics, particularly in major cities. The key for the LCS owners is to offer a shopping experience. It's impossible for them to compete on price, and therefore they shouldn't even try. But by making the store well-lit, clean, easy to browse, by having friendly staff who are knowledgeable and can thus recommend other books and trades to people, by having a great pull list service and offering incentives like free variant covers through a random drawing, by having writers, creators, and other industry people appear for signings, by doing things like serving coffee or snacks or having a lounge for people to read their books, by having gaming events, these are just some of the ways I think local shops can and will continue to thrive. But that's going to be a small minority of the current few thousand local shops. Most of those will go by the wayside in the same way the local bookstores have all basically gone away in the face of Borders, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon. Deep breath for Ian. And breathe out.
I have a comment on that one. I mean, this whole theory that having this experience around a comic shop, I mean, that'll bring in some business, but, you know, unless they only let people who are regular customers or spend X amount of dollars into their shop during their event, I can wander into that shop during their event and, you know, buying all my books at DCBS just the same as anybody else. And frankly, I don't want to sit around a shop on a couch drinking coffee personally.
Well, everybody has a different experience.
There are some, yeah, I'm sure some people enjoy that, but I mean, you can't just, in my opinion, dismiss that, well, you can't compete on discount, therefore you don't give any discounts. Right. That's a spurious thing. And to me, there's a certain value to that experience and all those things that were talked about there. Mm-hmm. But that value falls way short of $200 or $300 a month.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So You know, just to be clear, you know, if I was someone who bought $25 a week of comics, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I'm not, so that is inapplicable.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And I feel the same way, like what he was talking about, you know, the coffee shop experience. That's sort of what Rocket Ship offers. And that's kind of what I like about it. I mean, they have a back room that they use for all their parties, which, you know, you could just sit down, you know, just relax. And if you want to read a comic, that's fine. If you want to socialize, that's fine. But it's still the buying experience, which is pretty damn cool. Then this Brent guy said, "Holy shit, guys. How are we going to read all these? Fucking awesome. This is what I was talking about. Wee."
And it does say "we."
Yes, it does. No, it doesn't.
No. I would never post "we."
Yes, you would.
The funny thing is you spotted W-I-I.
Wee!
I don't know where you guys are reading that, because I'm reading the same thread you are.
So, Flashman 13, what did he have to say, Brent?
Right, Flashman 13. I started ordering online about October 2007, a month before my local comic shop went out of business. I think this happened because some people with the pull list, if they just move or stop coming, did not tell my comic shop, and they'd had months and months of comics they couldn't get rid of. My friend did this, and when I told him, I told the comic shop he moved, they had 60 comics for him. The next shop is two towns over and is hard to get there every week. Getting my comics online makes it easy because they come right to my house and I don't have to worry about them.
Yeah.
And Mr. Met replies to the guy who's getting 35% from his comic shop, says, "That's great. It's just not that you're saving money, but your LCS wanted to gain your business and keep it all. My shop, where I typically spend about $20 a week and has never asked my name, though they do recognize me by sight. And when I asked about any pre-order discounts, they had nothing to offer. I still buy a few comics from them each week, but I do about a 50-50 split of my overall comic buying between DCBS and my two local comic shop stores that I frequent. If I wasn't so tied into continuity and hooked on instant gratification on some titles, I'd be more like 80-20 DCBS versus LCS."
Continuity doesn't matter. It's magic. We don't have to explain it. Oh, is that
Flashman 13 replies real quickly.
is that a tired phrase already? Are you serious? Come on, man. It's only been like 3 weeks.
That's Flashman 13.
Another reason I go online is when I went to the LCS, I would get about 20 comics a month, but now I can get about 40 to 50 for about the same price online. Also, bags and boards for less. Only downside is seeing what comics are coming down the road, because I have to order from previews, like the new Cable series interior art they showed kind of ruined the Messiah complex for me. And yeah, I don't know, I kind of liked it, so it wasn't really that big a deal to me. And we read Raph's comment already, so you want to read Black Scarf's?
Yeah, Black Scarf says, and you just barely made it because you posted while we were recording. "Sorry to hear about your local store, Raph. I just recently switched from going to my local comic shop to DCBS, and I'm waiting on my first shipment this month. Long ago, I went through a service in my teens and loved the savings and shipping to my door, but eventually went back to the local comic shop for instant reading and the love of chatting with folks about comics. Feel guilty about switching back to a service, but when you are on a tight budget like I am, the savings cannot be beat. I will go into the shop and pick up something that catches my eye on the internet, but for the most part, I've got to stay with the most for my money. That is, of course, unless I have lots of issues with DCBS, then I will switch back again, but I doubt that's going to happen. Andrew."
All right, and we got through them. So.
And you know what? After reading that last post, just to make an addendum to my the girl you won't marry that offends John, let me phrase it this way instead, John. The LCS – We're a drug, baby. You can't stay away. You need it. You know what? I come back to me. I got open arms for you, baby. I'll always love you. Come on, have another hit.
You're starting to sound like the creepy pedophile from Family Guy, so you better watch out.
Yeah, he does.
come back, yeah. You piggly son, bitch.
You want another hit? I got it for you.
Where's the paper boy?
I like going to the comic shop, but I don't like it $200-$300 a month worth, you know, to be right. Buying everything there.
Right.
That's just it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like it when I stroke your hair, don't you? I know what you like. I remember.
I think we have to just
You come back in 2 months. I remember you.
There's only so much that the experience is worth, and it's like 20, 30 bucks, fine. 200? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing I will say is I personally, because I know that I'm speaking here and I'm taking the absolute counterpoint to what a lot of people, the counterpoint in buying habits compared to a lot of people in all these forums. So I honestly want to say, hear my voice going, how late it is. I honestly want to say if I offended anyone, I apologize.
Oh.
And we know your intent is not to do that. But, yeah. I mean, there comes a point where, you know, there's an almost inherent judgmental aspect on some of this. And
yeah, I feel the same way. Like, as if, why are you spending full price? That's silly of you, you know.
Mm-hmm. And really, that's all we're saying is we got no problem with the local stores. We support the local stores. And anyone who sees this as a us versus them kind of a situation is being, you know, overly competitive or combative or whatever, and there's no need for that.
Yeah,
both serve a vital purpose.
It's not.
But I would just say the local stores need to understand what their competition is, and in my opinion, falling back on the, well, we offer community and we offer the experience and, you know, beyond that, screw you, pay full price, that's not going to fly in the long term, in my opinion. Is all you're going to get is you're going to get a bunch of fly-by-night customers that spend trivial little amounts of money in your shop that, oh, as long as you can pull in hundreds and hundreds of them that come in on a regular basis.
What should they do? If you say they need to learn, what should they do?
Like I said, I think it's a combination. I think tiered discounts, certainly. Because, you know, you don't – you're going to reward –
what's your discount peers? Tell me them.
I would say off the top of my head, I don't know. I would say under
$50.
Yeah, it's dependent on a lot of things. I would say under $50 a month, I don't feel the need for you to give somebody a discount. You know, 50 to 100, you know, is maybe worth 10%. You know, 100 to 150 is 15. You know, 150 to 200 or 250 is 20, and over $250, you give them 25. And on top of that, you know, have some, if it makes sense for your business, have some kind of a prepayment requirement on this, that they have a pull list, or, you know, if you want like the highest discount, that you prepay.
That,
you
that,
know, so, that you're not, so that you're not stuck in some combination of these things that will allow you to capture the larger customers.
That and see, I request pie.
But in that sort of frame, you're actually demanding that people pre-order, because there's no way that, I mean, for months.
No, we're not demanding that pre-order. I'm not demanding. Reward them for doing it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not demanding anything.
But think about that. How can you actually figure out that discount unless you already know what they're ordering?
No, you do need them to pre-order, Tim. You're not demanding. No, you said demand. You're not demanding anything. You are giving them the opportunity to earn a substantial discount through pre-ordering.
You want to incentivize?
It's not a demand. They don't have to pre-order, but they don't have to get the discount either. Okay. Hell, I'm only getting the discount through DCBS because I'm pre-ordering months in advance and paying. I'm willing to do that because I want the discount. It's a give-to-get situation.
Yeah.
I don't expect to get something for nothing. I'm giving you my money in advance. It's helping cover your out-of-pocket expenses. In return, you are sharing with me the discount that you get from the distributor.
Yeah,
and in that sort of scenario, when you've got scenarios like late books and everything else, and they start rolling over in every, you know, other months, and then that puts you above or below a certain discount level, it starts to get into a lot of, and that does happen.
No, because no, again, when you pre-order, it doesn't. It's
right.
Yeah. When you pre-order, that determines what your discount is for those things that you pre-ordered.
Okay, and at this point, I hear the rooster crowing in the background, so I think yeah. we should probably try and wrap this up here. So before we go into promos for everybody, I'm going to play a promo for Geek Syndicate, and then we can wrap this baby up. So here is a promo from Geek Syndicate.
I've got a question for you. How many podcasters do you know have faced werewolves.
I remember just running down these stairs, and I could hear this voice behind me. Oh my God, Jesus, run! Run, Brian, run! He's right behind me! Run, please! He's gonna kill me! Run, run!
Fought vampires.
I've seen enough vampire movies to know. I ain't taking no chance. I didn't even have a crucifix. I had no holy water. I was completely unprepared.
Cracked Da Vinci Code.
What? Why are you going to put a man with a haircut like that was giving so much screen time? Dodgy. Rubbish.
Right.
Defend it. Go on.
And done battle with the villainous Doctor Doom.
You know, he was a proper villain. I went to see Fantastic Four movie. I was like, he's a guy from Tim Tuck. What was going on?
Villain? Villain, my ass! I could have dealt with him myself.
Villain was weak.
I could have dealt with him once I'd woken up with a hangover. And still, we got time for a cup of tea and a sing song.
Robin Hood, riding through the glen. Robin Hood with his men.
As if you couldn't guess.
Jewels from the rich, give to the poor. Robin Hood.
GeekSyndicate.co.uk. Check it out.
Don't make us come round there and give you a dry slap.
And I don't want to get dry slapped by them either, so thank you for
that promo.
Yes, that promo is fantastic. Now, first of all, guys, before we wrap it up, I got to thank all of you for the heated discussion, because that's what makes podcasting fun. So this is going to be a two-parter, as I believe we went about 4 hours. I'm probably going to split it where Bill left the call, and then we'll end it there, and then we'll do part two. But I want to thank you guys for being here. It was wonderful, wonderful experience. And Tiki, thanks for your first time here, man. I hope it's not the last.
I'm going to go lick my wounds.
He's willing to come back as long as I'm not on.
Nah, I love you. This is the only thing, well, it's one of two things Bob and I differ on.
Which is fine.
He loves mocking my indie tastes.
Well,
and that's a whole nother subject.
Can you both just agree that pie is delicious?
Pie is delicious.
I love pie.
Good. Thank you.
Pie would kill me.
I can't eat it. I don't eat pie, but I love it.
Yay.
All right. Let me put it this way. On every good debate, you need a villain. If I needed to be the villain, eh, so be it.
Again, we're not seeing it. It's that kind of a thing.
It's Dr. Doom to eat.
John, I'm totally being sarcastic.
I know.
Yeah. It's 2 a.m. Sarcasm can't be taken correctly. So, first off, Tiki, you want to plug your other podcasting appearance recently?
I have none.
Yes, you do.
Oh, it was already out. Oh, Geeks Unite, you're in review, but that's already out.
Eh, so what? Come on. Let the people know.
That's why you should plug it.
There you go. Support Rafe. He's a good guy.
Yes, and that's episodes 16 and 17, where you're on with Frank Rincon, and it's good stuff, and freewebs.com/comicgeeksunite and geeksunite.lipson.com.
I got to say, that one's a lot more fun and a lot more sarcastic, and I was drinking a lot more, so it's definitely a better time.
Oh, so you're saying you had more fun.
Not a better time. Oh, damn it, it's too late. I'm saying it wrong now.
He's not allowed back. He had better time with Raph. Forget him.
Well, somebody totally has to have a better time with Raph. I mean, come on.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. We know what you meant. But yeah, definitely check it out. But meanwhile, Bob and John, what do you got upcoming on the comic book page?
We just put up today back issue spotlight number 7 that has the Saga of the Super Sons trade paperback, and Cameron from DCBS joined us for that one. If you're ever interested in hearing Cameron talk, we do talk a little bit about DCBS, and he actually clued us in on some improvements he's going to be making over the course of 2008 to the site and such. And we had a good conversation with him. And, you know, every week we put up a new episode. And this last week's episode, we covered what, John? We covered Teen Titans Year One, number one, Thunderbolts 118, and the End League, number one.
Awesome. And that's all at comicbookpage.com/podcast, correct?
That's correct.
All right, awesome. And actually, John, remind me, what is Just Bill's web address again?
It's justbill.comicbookpage.com.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, just wanted to make sure he got one more promo in there. And I thank Bill for joining us for part one, as that was a lot of fun, and part two was certainly as fun as well. So, Brent, you got any BK's bullets coming up?
No.
Actually, as an addendum to that, well, if you check the Comic Timing feed recently, Brent actually put out a BK's Bullets on Invincible, and I believe he's got one or two BK's Bullets in the pipeline for Raging Bullets as well, so definitely check out those. Okay, great.
But I do have some things on the forum. I put up a poll of the best, your favorite Comic Timing episodes from 2007. Mm-hmm. So basically every episode that was released that said Comic Timing on it is on there. I put the show topics there just to refresh your memories because I knew numbers wouldn't do it. Feel free to vote for any and all of them. You can pick as many as you want, so I'm not going to make you pick between like your two favorite kids or anything like that. Not that evil. So go on and vote. We've had 6 votes so far, and the purpose of this is to get an idea of what the listeners – you know, what they like to listen to, and right. Maybe we can get some more topics that are similar to these in feel and scope, but not the same ones.
Definitely. And if you do want to submit topics, obviously you can do that on the forum as well. And don't worry, Brent will not make you choose between your aunt and your wife.
No.
Good.
Just your two little dogs.
Oh, no! Yeah, and there will be more blog stuff on the website within the next week, as I believe I'm going to have a post on Brand New Day and on editing in general. So it's going to be kind of fun there. And you got anything you want to post, Brent, that you want to talk about? Or
aren't you going to announce where you're going to be at March 6th through the 8th?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me, actually. I booked a hotel room. We're good to go. I just got to book my flight. March, we will be at MegaCon. So...
Woo!
March 6th through 9th, Brandon Inigo Fire, Raph Wraithmaker, and myself will be rooming together, and Brent will be our ride, and we'll have a live Comic Timing while we're down there as well. It's going to be a hell of a fun time, and Brent and I are getting in for free, so it's even more fun.
All right.
What about Wraith?
He gets to do his own thing. He can do a Geeks Unite press pass, but Comic Timing, baby, that's us.
It's all about us. That weekend, that's right.
Yes, definitely. But it's going to be great times, and it'll be great to actually meet you in person, you bastard.
And let me know, Brent, if there's a huge outcry for more Timing Comics episodes.
Okay, I will. I didn't put that one on there. Crap.
Oh, man. Quick, addendum. It's good times. All right, folks, I believe we're done. And I'm actually, you know what, I won't even mention it now, but whatever. And Geekspeak, obviously. Geekspeak episode 4 will be out by the time this is out, and I'm joined by Wayne Cordova for the first Geekspeak co-host challenge. And it was a hell of a lot of fun. And that went 2 hours. So you can imagine how much fun I'm having editing over this time period. But
I will say, Ian, these are really long.
Yes, they are, dude. Yes, they are. They don't usually go this long. This was a long even for
yes,
us.
Yes, they do.
Oh, come on.
I think it is.
4 hours? Nah.
When Bob and I get together, we are the problem with the previews episodes. Mm-hmm. Or not episodes, but previews conference calls. I take some of the blame for those.
Well, so do I. I never shut up. all right, but yeah, once
great,
again,
I'm going to bed.
Yeah, once again, guys, thanks for joining us. And the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com/forum. Graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak, guys, over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And we're proud members of the League of Comic Book Podcasters over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on iTunes. Please dig us on dig.com and give us your iTunes reviews if you can. For Brent, for Bob, for John, for Tim, for Bill, for Ian, for Toto, I'm Ian Levesey, reminding everybody out there that there's always time for comics.
He's going to have – just hope he hasn't watched the movie Mallrats before he comes into your shop.
Are you even there, Brent? Jesus, come on, man. Speak, you bastard. Yeah, he does this all the time. Whenever there's guests on, that's when he knows that he can just leave or mute the mic and not have to worry about actually talking. Because that right, Brent? Right? Yeah. You're not going to hear this, man. You're not going to hear this until I put it in the back of the episode, you bastard.
So, Ian, tell us how Brent lost his one testicle.
Oh, actually, it was a fateful story. There was a meat slicer, actually, at the deli.
I really don't want to hear details. Even fictional ones.
Yeah, so let me tell you about the time that that Brent went skydiving and forgot his shoes. Yeah, it's actually how he turned out the way he is today. Go figure. I'm not quite sure how he's
explains
alive.
A lot.
Yeah, but it does explain a lot about Brent. So yeah, we're learning a lot. And goddammit, I was gonna go into forum and all that, like right after this, the end of this conversation. But considering we go back and forth, I gotta wait until his ass shows back up. So let's have it. Let's have a different a wine of conversation here, I guess, until he does actually show back up. Jeez. I'm actually hi, Brent. How are you?
You know, we were talking to you and you weren't there, and I guess we just have about 5 minutes of editing now on Ian.
No. It's not even 5 minutes of editing. It's 5 minutes of straight to the back when we discuss, you know, how you lost that one testicle.
I had my microphone muted for some reason.
Oh, great.
I was listening to you guys, and I was talking back to you when you were like, I'm there, and you just kept going, so I stopped.
Tell the story about how somebody just punched that the sorority girl in the jaw, and that's how you look.
Oh,
that
yeah,
at least has a bit of a lure to it, better than the meat slicer kind of.
Yeah, but that was still a great backstory there. It's like what happened? Oh, well, my girlfriend was at a club, and this black guy came and punched her, and the principal broke it up.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right, but yeah, you know what, Tim? Make your sly comment about the Cheetos again, so you can actually respond to that. I was very tempted about switching to. Hey, I just got your apply.
Way to ruin your flow there.
Yeah, no, but
yeah, geez.
I didn't think I was.
Short attention span theater featuring.
Yay!
Ooh, shiny!
It's a bitty. Okay, good. Well, you're actually showing up as online now, so that's good. All right. Okay, yeah. Holy crap, it's over.
All right. I just changed my little thing there on Skype.
Oh, yeah. Downside to a deal with the devil. Joe Q says no.
Yes. My son, while we were, he came walking in and gave me the 546 and...
Oh, nice.
I muted and he was telling me he read it and he's like, what was the bad thing? And he pointed out that I hadn't thought of this. You know who made out like a bandit with that whole deal?
Peter Parker.
No, freaking Harry Osborn. The dude's back to life. He's got hot chicks hanging all over him. He's running a multi-billion-dollar company. He was a fucking dead psycho before. You know.
Well, the other thing,
he must have made a deal with the devil before Peter.
Yeah.
In that marriage,
the whole thing is to make Peter back as a you know, relatable character. How many of us hang out with these rich, you know, sons of millionaires?
Oh,
or whatever?
I do. All the time. I have at least seven rich millionaires that I know. Yeah.
You know that show Gossip Girl? Ian is actually one of the characters on that show.
Yeah,
basically
I am the
Ian.
Gossip Girl, actually.
But through, like, the three different filters where he's rich and good-looking.
And on that note, guys, I gotta go to bed because I gotta go to work an hour earlier, so...
Hey, Ian, yeah. Thank you very much for inviting me on. I really appreciate
You're
it.
You're more than welcome, Tim. Anytime you want back, man, just give me a holler.
Thanks, man.
All right, and John and Bob, pleasure as always.
Yeah,
John, come on, have a
Yeah, no problem.
Adios, digos.
Yeah, and
take care, guys.
And Brent, you're not annoying most of the time.
Yeah, I'm gonna press the end button now. So
okay, good. That works.
Okay. Right. See you later.